Hello.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Dave McDowell, introducing our subject for this evening. We're just going to talk about how different ways to communicate with God, to hear from Him. I have my wife, Linda, here as our special guest, and we're just going to share some of the things that work for us, some of the things that we've kind of learned here in our spiritual growth and our path, whatever you want to call it. We would encourage anybody who wants to call in. This is a live broadcast. And so with that, I think I'll just get right into it, okay? So, you know, we've all been in churches, various settings, you know, and we've heard people pray. And that's fine. I mean, I'm good. But what I tend to hear is what I feel is not as personal as I enjoy having my prayer time. So here's a technique that has really, really helped me. And I really, really bought into it and believed it and applied it in the last probably 10 to 15 years. And that is to always, when I'm going to the Lord to bare my soul, so to speak, is to think that I am truly talking to a Father. My Father, my most important relationship with God is as a child. And so when I go to pray, I say, Lord, Father, I'm hurting. Father, I need some help. Or it could be, Father, thank you so much for this thing or that thing or this piece of growth or this new piece of knowledge. And, you know, and just remember that He is our Father and He's first apparent to us. So hopefully I had a great relationship with my earthly father, and that really helps me to see God as someone who really wants to hear my problems, who really wants to put His arm around me and help me and soothe me and tell me, you know, it's going to be okay, all those things that go with that. So, Linda, do you have anything that's kind of similar to that?
Yeah, I have a name. You know, Abba, which means Father, and that's what I call Him is Abba, you know, whatever I'm coming to Him for. And I think I've said it many times on this show that prayer is just like you would go to your dad and you might make your request known. Second part of that is to be quiet and listen. So prayer is a two-way conversation, and sometimes we go to the Lord and we pray and we walk away. So I always try to make sure that I spend that time, you know, you dump your want list and your wish list, but I always try to make time to listen, because, you know, when I have learned to listen to what God has to say to me, that to me is the vital part of prayer.
Okay, so that's great, because I wanted to go there, and then I think this is true for you, I know it's true for me, is the longer and more deeper and more mature my relationship with the Lord gets, the less I talk and the more I listen. But why don't you share, can you share a technique of how you listen, you know, how does that work for you?
And for people who say, well, I don't hear, what do you hear from God? You know, He doesn't have that, no, do this kind of thing. But it's that still, small voice inside of you that guides you, and it guides you in a righteous way. You know, and a lot of times I journal what I hear in my mind. It may be like I'm coming to the Lord. Lord, I need that. I don't know what the next step for this new journey in my life is. Okay, I made the request. I don't know. So, and it may be that sometimes, I'm going to be honest, I may not hear anything right then. It may come to me in more than one session with Him, and that a lot of times it comes right then. And I mean, I'll get it in my mind. I'll have this now. Don't move here. Stay right here for a while. Trust me. I'm in a place right now where I'm asking God, what's the next step? And I want to move and do something, and I hear the Lord saying to me, not now. I want you to stay right here. And this is where trust is built, because the human part of me really wants to move in this situation, but the spiritual daughter that is learning to trust my father is going to have to stay here because that's what God told me to do, is to not move, not make a ruckus, just stay here and be calm and patient.
You know, what I've found, and I think this is so important for most people, is that God has spoken to me on my own.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know it was Him. I thought it was my own ideas and thoughts and everything. But now when I stop and I truly say, Lord, I want to hear from You. You know, I'm here. I'm available. And it's not a voice. It's, you know, typically it's an idea. It's a thought that comes to me. Even sometimes it's in pictures.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
or a song, because you'll get a
song in my head, and it's amazing how many times that has a spiritual significance for me. The Lord is very creative and ingenious. We have to learn to see Him and see. Sometimes it's a visual message,
and sometimes it is. You'll get pictures and pay attention to. That's why when I was, and I still do sometimes when I'm having a difficult time, I journal. What I see, what I hear, what I feel. And the major thing when God is talking to you, you know, because people say, well, that's just in my head. But how do you think God would communicate with you? Because it's a spirit-to-spirit communication. So it would be in your head. And does it line up with His word? That's always how you know, because your flesh will tell you something that is not going to line up with the word of God. But a lot of times when He speaks to me, I can take it to a scripture that, you know, confirms this is what He's saying to me.
Yeah, I love what you said. It's in your head. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that exactly is exactly true. As a Christian, I believe that the Holy Spirit is within me. So, yeah, He does. It is in my head. You know, I know that sounds funny and whatever. But it is in my head. I don't voice, but it will come, and I will just get a message. It's kind of hard to explain. It takes practice, and you learn to hear God, and you learn how God communicates to you, which could be different than the way He communicates to somebody else. It's a practice thing. What I would encourage listeners to do is to find that quiet time. Call it meditation. Call it whatever you want, and just get quiet. I want to share a verse with you that comes from the Song of Solomon, and I'm going to totally paraphrase it, but it basically says that God almost thinks in anticipation. He gets so emotional if we just take one look at His direction. So think how much He loves it when we just sit out on the porch and say, Lord, I'm just going to, I call it holding hands with God. Lord, I'm just going to hold hands with You. If You want to speak to me, God, if we just want to sit here together and watch the squirrels playing in the front yard, so be it. But it is my time given to Him, and I know He loves that.
Yeah, it is a time of, that's why they call, you know, some people have different terms, and with me, I don't get stuck on terms. I get stuck on relationships. But it's a spiritual practice to listen to God, to meditate on His word. Sometimes I will just get a scripture and meditate on a word from the scriptures, and it'll become alive in my spirit that I may just start saying it, but then it'll go deeper into me where I get so much more meaning out of it. So, you know, and what we're saying is that prayer is this two-way conversation. It is about you talking to God and emptying your spirit to God, but it also is about that second step of listening to God. And I think a lot of times as Christians, we don't spend the time to listen to God.
Yeah.
It is such a, that deepens the relationship. It will take you into such a deeper and more profound relationship with God when you listen.
Yeah, and you know what we're seeing, at least I think in the church, in multiple churches, I'm not going to say any particular denomination, was as a boy growing up, I heard the laundry list.
Mm-hmm.
As a man going to church now, I think I hear a lot more praise, a lot more glorifying to God, and a lot less we need, we want.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with saying, I need, I want.
No.
I mean, that's my Father.
Yeah.
He wants to give me good things. But, you know, what parent wants their son or daughter coming to them? They don't have their earphones when they want something.
Yeah.
You know, how about sometimes when you just want to go, Dad, let's just sit on the couch together. You know?
Yeah.
And I don't mean any disrespect.
Yeah.
I use the word Abba too. When I really am in the right place and I just want to just snuggle with God, I use Abba. When I'm fighting demons and doing spiritual warfare, it's a little different. I'll use Jehovah because it just carries a little more for me. But that's the whole point. He is all those things.
Mm-hmm.
He is your Father. But he's also the God that created the universe. Yeah, capable of supplying all our needs and the needs of the whole world and everything else. There's a balance there. I never want to be disrespectful, but I just realized I said that. I want to make sure this is another thing that we talk about, and that's honesty. You know, do you want to speak to that, Linda, about, you know, really, when you're mad at God, tell him you're mad. When you're upset, you don't like the way he did something, talk to him about it. He's not shocked. His feelings are not hurt. He's God. And I think it's okay in a respectful way. So, Lord, go, Lord, I don't understand. This isn't exactly how I thought this was going to go, you know. And talk that out. It's part of the growth process of learning how God works. And, you know, I've seen, and I'm sure you have too, many, many, many times when I thought, Lord, this can't be the answer. And then find out 6 months later, it was the perfect path. It was just what I needed. It was just what somebody else needed. Sure didn't look like it when it was so long. But I just really believe, you know, like you would with your dad. Dad, I don't know. That doesn't seem fair.
And, you know, just like with family. You know, with family, I've had disagreements with family, with my mom, with my dad, where I spoke very honestly with them in a respectful manner.
Right.
You know, because you can agree to disagree. And we're not, you know, people, God is real. God is real. God is good. He is not going to send hellfire down on you just because you said, Father God, I just don't understand it. This is not what I thought you had for me. I'm disappointed. You know, this is hard. This is a hard place. These are conversations that I really have had. And only to find what he was saying to me, denial is not delay.
Right.
You know, it wasn't the divine timing maybe for what I want. Or sometimes he said no, and maybe a year or two later, actually, and I'm going to tell this story, it might embarrass my husband, but he knows this. I had been in another relationship and was brokenhearted about it and just was like, God, I thought this was what you wanted for me. It was so great. I'm that day, I think, 6 to 8 months later, and that he is what God wanted for me. And it was just a matter of, I am so glad. I cannot even tell you how glad I am that, you know, transpired and went because God had something better for me. So sometimes delay is not denial. Or if he says no, it's because he has something, you know, the ram in the bush, just like Moses. Just like Abraham when he had was about to, you know, sacrifice his son. The ram in the bush was always there waiting. So in divine time, the ram was available for him. It's the same thing with us.
Yeah, yeah. So we're talking about techniques. So, I mean, and you and I, you know, we get off on our little things, and it's so easy because we enjoy telling those things. But let's go back to techniques. So we've talked about the idea of, you know, picturing literally in your mind a Heavenly Father. I'm going to share another picture that was so important at the time it came to me because I was going through a time when I felt like I was being really misunderstood by a lot of really close people that I love and care about. And God gave me this picture of a little 5-year-old boy running up into his lap. He's sitting on the throne, getting up there and just putting my head in his chest and him putting his arms around me. And in the court was all these 20 other little boys all pointing at me going, did you see what he did? And him going, he's good. And, you know, it's that. It's, you can enter into his presence in the worst state and, you know, have blown it spiritually all day long, and he still is ready to hear you.
And pictures are, I can remember a couple of times when, actually I got two pictures. One was I was walking, I guess it was a dream or whatever, I can't really tell you what it was, but I was walking and I knew it was like heavenly places that I was walking. I'll say it was a dream. And I saw all these cracked pots, but they had been beautifully embellished. And where the cracks were, there was gold, and they were turquoise. And I feel like at that time I was going through a lot of things and feeling a little bit not worthy or just beaten up on myself. And I feel like the Lord was saying to me through that message, and it came to me like weeks later, that even your brokenness, I can feel it and make something good. So really pay attention to your dream. You'll get a visual picture. I've gotten a picture before of him. You know, we feel like God is this great being somewhere out there, but the Holy Spirit lives in you, which is a spirit, is a he, she, whatever you want to go there with. But it's inside of you, and that's the essence of who God is. So the essence of who God is inside of you. So one time I got where I felt like God was far away from me, it was like he wrapped me up in his cloak and covered me and held me. So just telling me that I am so much a part of you, I cover you. I wrap myself around you. And how can you be? So those pictures, dreams, they're important, and it could be. Sometimes that's why I write things down in a journal, because I may not really understand it at the time, but I've gone back to it and gotten a meaning from it. So that might be a good technique for some people.
Yeah. So, and you kind of hinted at it a minute ago, which is another check when you're getting these messages or think you're hearing God, and that is it biblical? Is it spiritual? Is there an apple? For example, I love the crack pot story because, man, that's right out. I think it's Colossians.
We have this
treasure in an earthen vessel, and when the cracks in the vessel allow Jesus to shine through, that's so scriptural. It's very scriptural. Then there's things like be renewed. Help me out.
Be renewed by the transforming of
your mind. Thank you. I know it's wrong, and I think it's 12:1. You know, and that's part of it. When God comes in and plants these ideas and these thoughts, and the Holy Spirit speaks to us, that is the renewal. And so I would encourage people, know your Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we both just quoted two or three different scriptures that really apply to the message that God's giving us. And that's a check. That kind of helps me know, just me dreaming something else.
Yeah.
Another technique in that same kind of vein is, and it's usually around a big decision, changing jobs, moving, you know, something big, you know, where you're going to go to college maybe. And that is that we learn to wait and let God confirm. And it usually starts, for me, the way it works for me is I'll get this idea. And I'll go, oh, well, okay, that's interesting. And I know, I feel like it's from the Lord, but I'm not told to do anything. I don't feel any big drive. It's just a thought. You know, I wish I could come up with a great example, but I can't right this minute. And then I'll wait. And what I find, if it's really the Lord, if he really is trying to make a point, that thought won't go away. It'll come back. And I'll maybe 2 days, but I'll have it again. And maybe a week later, I'll have it again. And it won't go away. And then I know God's really trying to get me to see something. And usually he gives me one step. He loves to do this, and this is part of the faith thing. You know, one step. You go, oh, what? I want all the steps. What I want to plan. I want to know what the first 10 steps are. No, you just take this step. And I've learned to trust him and take one step, and then he'll tell me what the next step is. We talked about it, and I just call it cooperation. It's the best word I can, mm-hmm. I can use. I just want to cooperate with God.
Well, and just building the trust, you know, will you trust him when, you know, everything else looks like it's not going the way that you had desired for it to go? Sometimes we just have to wait and trust. And it's building that trust when you listen and then follow what he told you to do.
Oh, I got something really cool. So here's a perfect example. We're in the middle of this right here. You know what I just heard God say? Somebody out there needs to hear that again, that technique. And what the Lord said to me was somebody out there has had a dream that's 20 years old,
mm-hmm.
and they pushed it away, and they thought, you know, it's never going to happen. And I hear the Lord said, yes, it is. And you've had those.
Yeah.
Our marriage is a 30-year dream, mm-hmm. as far as I'm concerned.
Uh-huh.
I had a dream for 15 years of getting to live in the country on a little small piece of acreage. It happened after I forgot. So I just want to, there's hearing God. That's just an example. Somebody needs to hear that. Somebody, I hope, is listening and going, oh, so it's not over. You know, here's the other thing I love about the Lord. God remembers prayers I forgot. He remembers things I forgot. I can give you tons of examples of that. Stuff like, I prayed for years ago, God give me kingdom eyes. Let me see what you see. Let me think about the kingdom the way you think about the kingdom. Forgot all about it. And then a few years ago, he brought it all back and said, I've been doing that. I've been training you. You know, there's one. I got a bunch of those that are long time prayers that I forgot.
Well, and then I think that he is sometimes, he's preparing you for the next step. And just like the potter and the clay, you know, his timing is divine timing, and it's not always our timing. He knows when you're ready, and he knows, because I know I've heard preparation. I'm still hearing it for years and years and years. And, you know, even now I would like to be doing some different things, but I still feel like he's saying, I'm still preparing you. Because when, you know, he says ready, set, go, you'll be totally ready, you know? You'll be ready to take that step, and you can just do it. So sometimes just that waiting, and it's just your, you know, potter in the clay. He's just molding you and making you right for what it is he has for you. And that's part of it, too.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I'm so identifying with that. I think about your business, our business,
mm-hmm.
that we're growing, that this radio blog is part of,
mm-hmm.
and just seeing things just, I'm going to say magically, because that's what it feels like, falling into place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a phone call that we didn't go looking for to raise a new piece of business. I know, that's God. It's like, well, we didn't plan that. There it is. Here you go. She backed it up. And we're seeing that. We want it to go faster.
Yeah.
But God's got a plan. He's okay. You know, it's good. It's fine. We're cooperating.
We are.
We're doing our part. And I trust God will do more than his part. We know he does. But, again, you know, how I deal with this was kind of techniques, but can't help but give examples. And
right.
I love the examples.
Yeah.
So that's one. Another technique that I think Linda knew before I shared it with her, but I think she didn't know it as deep, correct me if I'm wrong, and that is the desires of our heart. You know, and that is, for years and years and years, I read the verse, it's in Proverbs, I think it's 3, I should have looked it up before we started the show, but acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your paths. And then there's another part, and then he says, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And for years, I thought that meant I could ask for a new Mercedes. Or, you know, Lord, I want that new house. Or, Lord, get it. I thought, you know, the desires for what I wanted as a human being. And what I've learned is now God will take his desires, place them in my heart, and my desires will become his desires. They will become synonymous. They will become the same. Wow. That is so incredibly powerful. And the reason it's so incredibly powerful is if we ask anything in his name, if we ask according to his will, all those verses, well, I'm sorry, this is going to sound like the name of climate, and I don't mean it to, because I'm not asking for a new Mercedes.
Well, and you know, I don't feel like there's anything wrong with that either. I don't feel like, because I feel like that's positive, but you reach a level where maybe that was your baseline level, and then you grow up from that.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, a teenager. You might have been, and I started there. Lord, I want this. And I will say he gave me those things and plus a deeper relationship. So I'm not, you know, knocking that. I don't feel like it's anything. God wants to give good gifts to his children. He's the best father ever. So, I mean, if that's the desire, but the deeper desire may be, okay, you did get the Lexus or the Mercedes, but maybe he blessed you with that to take 10 people to church.
Right.
You know, I don't know, but there's always something, another layer. What's the other layer of that? And I don't feel like there's anything wrong with wanting those things. It's what do you want it for?
Well, let's go back to our business that we're growing, that we hope to retire to, because we, Linda and I said, we don't ever want it to be about the business.
Right.
We want it to be about the ministry.
Right.
And God will take care of the business. You know, we'll prosper according to his will. I'm not worried about that. What I am worried about is ministering to people, help them grow, genuinely caring about them. And my point about that is, you know, back to the desires of your heart. We have asked God, Lord, please, Father, Abba, Jesus, Holy Spirit. Because, by the way, you can't pray to all three separately and together and say, I want to know what you want. Tell me what you want. And then cause me to want it as much as, you know, like you want. And
that's
he does.
That's a deeper prayer. That's a deeper,
yeah.
You know, because we all start, we got layers like an onion.
Yeah, sure.
We take off those beginning layers. I know I haven't probably been a Christian as long as they have. And I can remember 10 years ago, I think I've been a Christian now for maybe 10 years ago, where I was and where I am now, and the layers of the onion have gotten quite a bit deeper, but I still got a bunch of layers left. But, you know, start, the meaning, the reason I was saying that is start where you are.
Yeah.
Start where you can see. And it will, God will develop you because he knows the desire of your heart is to have a connection and a relationship with you, with him. So start where you are. Wherever that is, if you never even prayed, just say, God, I don't know what this is about. You know, I hear these two crazy people on the radio. I don't have that kind of relationship. They're talking about they hear you in this head. Speak to me and trust me. He will speak to you.
And it may take a little time.
Yes.
I mean, it may not be immediately. It may be a week. It may be a month. But he will begin the communication. Well, at least in my experience, what's happened is he's been communicating all along, but now I have ears to hear, and all of a sudden I go, oh, that's you.
Yeah.
How long have you been trying to tell me something?
Well, and a lot of people, if you think about that intuition,
yeah.
Suppose you, that intuition is the Holy Spirit guiding you. You know, you were in a situation where maybe you were with a group of friends and they were going to do something that really wasn't all that great. And, you know, you just got this thing like, go ahead and leave now. This is not going to be good. Leave. That is the Holy Spirit guiding you along. So really, people do hear God. It's just developing and trusting. I tell my daughter, trust your gut, because your gut is that's where the Holy Spirit is talking to you. Trust your gut.
Yeah. And then, of course, you know, if you ever have any doubts, then stop.
Yeah.
And wait, or pray some more, or is it, you know, try to think, is there a scripture that supports this step? You know, one of our, well, now I'm getting off track, so let's get back to techniques and prayer. And I want to emphasize also what Linda said about wherever you are. Listen, we're all at different stages. Not only at stages, we're on different paths.
Mm-hmm.
God does not talk to us exactly the same. Linda has a different personality. God will speak to her in that to that personality. I'm different. I'm my person. You have yours. The Lord loves us as children, and He knows His children. And he, you know, again, because this is the kind of thing that really helps me. What father is going to say to his child, "Oh, you didn't say it right, so I'm not going to do anything"? Or, "Well, no, you need to, you know, I don't want to listen to you until you get bigger, until you're more mature, until you're better at saying it, whatever it is you want to say." No, he wants to listen to you right then, right there, however you say it. I mean, what dad doesn't want to hear is 2-year-old jabber?
Right.
I know that sounds simple, but it's the truth.
It is the truth because he wants to hear it in your language.
Yes.
You know, if you say pop, you know, I don't care. That he
right.
doesn't care either. Pop, look, this is not how I want it. If you have slang, this ain't cool. Whatever you say, he can understand it. He
yes.
really can. So that's the thing. It doesn't have to be thee and thou and oh Lord and my father.
Right.
You know, it doesn't have to be that. It has to be in your way, however you communicate, as long as it comes from the heart.
And
that's
these,
it.
And these and thou's are okay, too.
And these
if
and
that's
thou's,
how you
yeah,
are,
exactly.
if that's what you're comfortable with. But here's, let me add, I just realized we need to add them. Here is one of the most powerful things. It is so great. And I can give you examples. Guess what? You have an interpreter.
Oh.
It's called the Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
And when all you could do, and I've been there, well, all I could do was cry. I was in such emotional pain. I couldn't get out anything. But in my heart, I knew God understood and that the Holy Spirit was taking those groanings, those moans, those tears, and translating them. So that God heard me, and I know He did. I have no doubt. So if you're not where you think you should be praying, guess what? You got to help.
You
the
did.
Holy Spirit will take what you think and what you say, and He understands you so well that He will take the meaning of what you're trying to say, even if it's not clear, and make it clear, which is just.
And He understands our moans, our groans, and our cries. He really does. He's been, will be, and is right there in the trenches with you.
Yes. We keep saying this, and this is a little off track. We are just amazed how God is in the details.
Mm-hmm.
Just tiny little details that He thought, oh, my gosh. That couldn't have been a coincidence. There's no way you're going to convince me that was a coincidence. That was the Lord planning something and putting it in place 5 years ago so that it would come to life today because this is what I needed. And,
yeah.
You know, we've seen it too many times.
Yeah.
And we said that often.
We did.
Wow, how
okay.
God must be in the details of this one. He really is a father. He is in the details.
He is
you know?
In the details, and he knows, and which also says he knows your every desire.
Yep.
You know, he knows those desires. He's placed them in your heart. You know, think about that. The righteous desire that you have,
mm-hmm.
He's placed them there. So he nurtures them, and he sees them, and will help see them come to pass.
Here's another one, and it's kind of a thing, but it's also maybe a little bit more than that, and that is that waiting on God we've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the best example is I have people at work
mm-hmm.
that I just am, Lord, give me, you know, I want to talk to them. I want to tell them about you. But there's an appropriate time and place,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there's an opening that's right. And then there's me fumbling around, forcing something, offending somebody, you know, not. Earning, I call it earning the right to witness, you know, and that is by loving people, you know. But how many times, Linda, have you wanted to do that and you wait and you wait and then all of a sudden one day it just falls in your lap? It's like they come to you and say, will you tell me about Jesus?
Yeah, right.
You
yeah.
know,
happened to me a couple of times with different people. Actually, you know, even some sisters in the nation. When I was in the nation,
right.
And then I became a Christian, and they found out about it, that I had become a Christian. And they were, you know, for a while people didn't speak to me. But then when they did, why did you do that? And every time I would explain it, it was a witness as to why I left the Nation of Islam. I can think of that, and I can think of two sisters who did come to Christ. Not that I was trying to witness to them, but that is my thing. I just was living my life for Christ.
Right.
And the greatest testimony to me is how you live your life.
And God just opened the door.
And he opened the door
in his time. And this is a tough lesson learned. Because I remember as a newly surrendered Christian, and I had been saved for quite a while, but I didn't surrender until I was like 23. And I can remember, it's funny, the Lord, this is a Kairos moment. Where the Lord, I remember one day after I had done that, and I was so on fire. I was so in love with the Lord. It was like the rebirth all over again. And, you know, I thought it was my duty to tell everybody. And I can remember, you know, working with these three guys. One of them was my boss and two colleagues. And a lot of times we'd have a Friday afternoon beer time, you know. And I was, oh, no, I'm not out of beer. No, I'm spiritual, you know. And then later beating myself up because I didn't tell them right then and there about Jesus. And I have learned to trust God that there is a time and a place, and he will tell you. You will feel it. It will be so easy. It won't be difficult. It won't be scary. You know, it will be simple. And a lot of times for me, it's been somebody coming to me who says, why aren't you upset? And I get to go, well, because I know it's going to be okay. What do you mean? I had this most fun experience at work not too long ago. I told Linda about it because it was so fun. I have this saying, and we all laugh about it, and I kind of say it jokingly, but I actually mean it. I am God's favorite. Well, I really believe that. I think we're all his favorite, but I'm really his favorite. And we were at work one day, and something was going on. It was late in the day, and there were two guys still in the office with me, and something was going on, and one of my boss, the manager, says, you know, Dave, since you came, this has happened and this has happened and it's really turned around. And he wasn't trying to give me credit. He was just making a note that in the last 2 months, a lot of things have not gone well. I just looked at him and the guy that was standing next to him. I said, well, would you like to know why? And he says, yeah. I said, because I'm God's favorite. And they both looked at me and laughed. And then he looked at me and goes, oh, you're serious. I said, well, yeah. And we had, I mean, that has lasted. He still says that. When things go well, he'll say, well, you know, Dave's God's favorite. And it's kind of become a joke, but I think they're buying into it. And we really got off. That's about witnessing. But it's still the prayer thing of if you ask the Lord to give you opportunities, he will.
Yeah.
He will.
It's still the prayer thing is that, you know, we talked about making your request known because there are different kinds of prayers. Where the supplication, where you're asking God for something, then there's prayers where you are affirming how good God is. Then there's prayers where you are in gratitude
mm-hmm.
for all that he's done and all that he's giving you. So there are different terms for those, but there are basically, try to keep it as simple as possible, but there's different kind of prayers that you come to the Lord. I think the greatest form that Jesus taught us in Matthew, how to pray to God, you know, our Father, just giving our Father, hallowed be thy name, meaning that your name is so holy, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. His will be done on earth through you, through us, you know. So those are the ways that you can, but it is not a magic formula, or we're not trying to give you a formula.
Right.
God is so good that he will accept to me one of the greatest prayers. Just help me.
Yeah. Yeah, when Linda and I try to pray together every morning, Some mornings it doesn't work out. Some mornings she's got to get out the door. Some mornings I got to get out the door. And we'll just look at each other and go, oh, Lord, please help us. Amen. And I think that's as powerful as anything we could pray.
Thank you.
But I want to go back. So we're talking about techniques. And so we've talked about how to talk to her. And that is just be open and honest. Picture a father listening to his daughter or son, and you've got the right picture.
Mm-hmm.
That's one. It doesn't have to be flowery. It doesn't have to be perfect. You've got the Holy Spirit to interpret. The other one is listening, you know, and that is just being quiet and let the Lord bring things to you. It's also, not only is it a great finding out what he's thinking and what he feels and what he wants you to know, but it's also, when I use that technique a lot of times, the thing I most need to pray about comes to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And well, this is really bothering. But I wait for him to bring it and say, it's almost like I wait for him to say, I think we need to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
And we do. There's talking to him. There's listening back, and we've shared some techniques. But here's one, and I do this is only in my personal time. I don't do this with Linda. I don't do this with anybody. And it was only in the last, 12 years, 10, 12 years that I really got this, and that is confession. Because I was afraid to confess. It was like, oh, man, I know he knows, but I don't really want to sit there and tell him all the bad things I've done. It's not going to be fun. It's going to suck. I'm sorry. Until I finally realized 1 John 1:9, and I took it as it was meant, and that is, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It doesn't talk about punishment. It doesn't talk about him being surprised. It doesn't talk about him being disappointed. It just says, come, admit your weaknesses. Admit where you failed. And say, Lord, I'm sorry. And he forgives you all over again and cleanses you, and you can get up and go on.
Well, and it's all about that. You know, he's not a bad God waiting to punish you for every single thing you did. And I think that a lot of people have been beat down and thinking that, you know, he's just waiting for you to mess up. That's not the God that I experienced. The God that I experienced talks to me, shares with me, educates, and uplifts me and empowers me to be all that I can be. And he brings things to my remembrance. And I confess, or I'll say, like, Lord, I messed up this, whatever I did. It's tough, trust me. It's not,
I'm not thinking right.
I should have done this or whatever. But I feel like that's the Holy Spirit working in us, and that's that quiet time. Because in my quiet time, he'll show me maybe a better way you could have handled this is.
Mm-hmm.
Or I feel like he'll say, now, that may not have been the best way, but this is. So he'll show me, or he'll show me a path. So that's why, and I think we talked about journaling. Sometimes I journal what I hear because it helps me to go back and to tell you new steps. Like, I need you to do this, this, and this. And when I journal, I can go back to those steps. And that's not for everybody. Some people can remember everything, and they don't need to do that. We're not spouting one technique over the other, but just trying to give you some things that have worked for us. But journaling really helps me.
So on the confession thing, because this is crucial, I think it confessing and saying to the Lord, I agree with you, I'm weak here, or I'm struggling here, or I failed here, gets you in the right place to hear him, to talk to him. It's an incredible tool.
It is a tool. To me, I think you have to, there's a balance there in that, I guess I'm more of a Pollyanna. You don't have to beat yourself up.
No.
Because he's not going to beat you up. So in the sense that, Lord, I messed up here, and then he'll show you how you could have done. And really what it is, we're in your thinking.
Yep.
And the Holy Spirit will correct your thinking. A lot of times we think, you know, oh, I've sinned, and you may have. But really, sin is an error in your thought processes and your thinking. And the Holy Spirit will bring you to the remembrance of the word that corrects and divides.
This is what's helped me. Because when I started really hearing, and it was a good spiritual mentor of mine, talk about confession. I thought, oh, no. You know, it's bad enough I did. I don't want to rehearse it and go over it again. But he kept talking about it, and he said, Dave, it actually can become a time of wonderful renewal. It can be something that begins to change you. He said, because, and you can ask the Lord to show you the things you need to confess, and he'll show you, and you'll find things you didn't even know. But it's not to make you feel bad. God is not, if you're feeling guilty, let me just tell you, it is not God. I do not believe that. There's a difference between conviction and guilt. I believe guilt is from our enemy. Guilt makes you wallow. Guilt makes you quit. Guilt makes you give up. Guilt makes you feel like a worm. Conviction says, oh, I see, Father, help me. And so confession becomes a counseling session.
And what, you know? Because the Holy Spirit is our counselor. You know, so you're coming to him to say, I messed up here. But to me, every mistake is an opportunity to learn to do better. So if you would come to him to me in a way, and that's how I come to him, because I've spent a lifetime beating myself up, and, you know, I'm not there anymore.
Oh, my goodness, we got 12 seconds.
Yeah, so we're going to cut it short because we tried to. But, you know, you could spend a lifetime wallowing in something, but then you have to move on so that you can do better. So listen and allow the Holy Spirit.
Oh, no, not 12 seconds, 12 minutes. Excuse
okay.
me. We got one more.
Well, and that's the thing is to listen and allow the Holy Spirit to teach and show you another way. Because sometimes we think we have to go to this other minister, whatever, and there's nothing wrong with that. I do believe that's what they're for. But if you spend time with God, you can get direct access and you can hear from him for yourself.
Here's a good illustration. It's from many, many years ago, and I don't know if anybody knows this person, but his name is Billy Strachan. If you can find any of his stuff, go listen to it. He's a Scotland with a Scottish accent, which I love anyway. And this was many, many, many years ago. I was listening to one of his lectures, and he was, you know, and this guy who was really trying to grow, get more spiritual and learn all this stuff, wrote him this long letter of what books do I read, who do I need to listen to, you know, who's the best teachers, and, you know, on and on and on. And Billy Strachan wrote him back, like, one sentence. It was really simple. Pray and read your Bible. You know, and that's the truth. You know, don't get me wrong. There's Oswald Chambers. There's all kinds of great writers.
There are.
And they're good, and they can help you think things through, but you just can't beat spending time with them.
No, and there are great pastors. I'm not putting any pastor down
right. That
can guide and direct you, and you do need that. But when you have developed and try to keep developing, because we're always developing that relationship with God, you can hear him for yourself.
Amen. And that is so, life can get to be fun. We've got a few minutes. I want to recap, and then I want to make a couple statements.
Mm-hmm.
First, we've talked about talking to God, being honest and open, and knowing that he's your Father, that you can tell him the deepest, darkest, ugliest things and your greatest desires, and he'll listen.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, hearing back from him, starting to recognize, find time to be quiet, look for him. I see him in songs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Linda knows this. I'll wake up and I'll come out of the bedroom and I'll go, guess what the song for today is? And it'll sound the goofiest thing, but it'll have a spiritual meaning. And there's all kinds of ways. Then, you know, we talked about confession and how that will put you in such a great place to talk and hear from God. But the other thing, you know, and then we also talked about your guilt is, I do not believe guilt, as I define guilt, is from God. I believe conviction is. The conviction is friendly. It's not mean. But the last thing I wanted is, you know, to just emphasize, start where you are again. One more time, start where you are. There's no perfect language. It doesn't matter. You have an interpreter. Just find some time. You want to add?
Yeah, just, I think that the greatest thing that has helped me, and trust me, I'm still growing, so I'm not saying that I've achieved. I have no, by no means, achieved. But the greatest thing that has helped me in my relationship with God is to talk and listen. And the more I listen, the more I hear him. So I would just encourage you to talk, whatever you make your needs known, but also to listen.
You know, we keep trying to wrap up, and I keep thinking of one more thing, but I'm going to share this too. This was a statement from my spiritual mentor many, many, many years ago. I almost don't want it, 35. And that was, Dave, when you see God in all your circumstances, God becomes your environment.
Mm-hmm.
And prayers like that. When Paul says, pray without ceasing, I can't remember anything, that's not possible. I can't sit with you all day. I can pray without ceasing.
Mm-hmm.
And that means when I'm at work, I'm thinking about what God, you know. Now, I'm doing my job. Don't get me wrong. I'm focusing on whatever it is I'm focusing on. But it's this soft awareness
mm-hmm.
of God that comes from spending time with him so that you're always ready to hear from him
mm-hmm.
or ask for help or whatever the case may be. And I'm not there 100%, trust me, but I'm trying to get there. And it becomes like an old married couple. I don't know a better way to put it. After many, many years, there are times when I think I know how God feels about something. I may not understand it all. He's too deep and too high. But I can at least know, you know, I know what he wants here. I know him well enough. We've been together long enough as an old married couple. That I kind of know what he wants here. I don't really have to even hardly think about it. That's when the relationship gets rich and deep and fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything else, Linda?
No, I think that is pretty much it. We hope you enjoyed our we claim to be children of God. That's what we claim to be, that have a relationship with him that is still evolving and growing just like everybody else. And like I said, these are things that have helped us. And, you know, you can share with us. You can write in the comments.
Yeah.
Are there things that have helped you? Are there things that you do that help you deepen that relationship with Abba? Please leave us comments about that. We love that.
Yeah, we've tried. If you look on our little page here of this episode, for lack of a better word, we've got our website, an email. You know, we would love to hear from you. That's our job.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we want to do, is to hear from people. And I love nothing better than hearing somebody's story.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, whether it's about prayer or how you came to know God or where you are, I love stories. So we'll
see you next time. I'm trying to see what the call-in number. Just so people know, the guest call-in number is 646-787-1589. And if you ever wanted to call in, again, I'll say it, 646-787-1589. You could call in at any time, and you can leave us comments right on our page as you're listening to Blog Talk Radio. There's a comment section. And if you have suggestions on how you deepen your relationship with the Lord or deepen your prayer life, we'd love to hear that.
Well, yeah, again, I keep thinking one more thing, and that is also if we're in the middle of something and you got a question and you say, wait a minute, I don't understand.
Yeah.
You know, we want to hear that because that's what we want to do is make it understandable or relatable or whatever the case may be. I don't want pie in the sky. I want down to earth, you know, rocks and dirt. But that's it. Thank you, everybody. I hope you enjoy, and we'll see you next Sunday at 6 p.m. Central.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.